The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady is on assignment and should be back within... When is he coming back, David? Next week?
I think next week.
Okay. So, anyway.
Good morning. Beautiful morning.
It is a beautiful morning. So much for the half inch of rain we were supposed to get. What happened there?
It decreased
considerably.
It decreased to the point where when I looked at the useless weather app that comes on iPhones, it said that we had gotten zero inches of precipitation in the last 24 hours in Poway, and that was yesterday.
Okay, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Why would you use a useless app for that information?
Because that was the one that was at hand.
Okay. So I want to assure you, you got more than 0.00 inches.
I'm sure we did.
I think simply walking outside for a few minutes would have indicated that you had some rain.
It rained
without
pretty
using
good.
Your app.
Was it Wednesday or Thursday morning? It rained pretty good on Thursday morning at the Poway store.
After it was supposed to be passed.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. Because I think they said that it was supposed to be passed at 11 o'clock, and it was pouring at noon.
You realize I just pass on the information I see from the National Weather Service. These are not my forecasts.
No, I
okay.
Because you would be more accurate? Is that what you're implying?
No, I'm not saying that. I do recall once seeing a forecast where they had updated the forecast online to say, due to numerous reports, we are adding light rain to today's forecast, because they had had reports of rain.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in the forecast for that rain until they had reports of actual rain, and then they
hey, it's
updated
raining.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you walk outside and you get wet, it's raining, right?
Well, I think
typically.
Más o menos. Yeah. I think most areas got less than a quarter of an inch. And I thought, well, the forecast was for a quarter to a half an inch. But we were on the southern tail end, and it looks like there's going to be something similar later this week. We're going to have our warm period today and tomorrow. And Monday, and then we're supposed to have another cool, moist week.
The entire week, Mr. Weatherman?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go out on a limb now. Ken's going to yell at me next week.
No. we had happy hour on Thursday, and it was nice. I mean, it wasn't raining at all.
This is the driveway without driving.
Yes.
Okay.
So we had the happy hour, pulled out the fire pit just to take a little bit of the chill off. But then it rained Thursday night at our house. We got a decent amount of rain coming down on Thursday night, which I wasn't expecting it. I thought it was all supposed to be gone by then. So,
I agree.
So, anyway, beautiful morning out so far.
Beautiful moon.
The moon is incredible.
I thought it was going to be cold out this morning, but it wasn't. It's cool.
I was going to say it's still a little chilly. It was below 50.
It was very nice.
At least when I left the house, it was 48. So that's chilly for...
No body fat. Is that where you're headed with this?
I stopped abruptly, yes.
Man.
Well, so we hope everybody had a fun and safe Cinco de Mayo yesterday.
Yeah, from looking at the CHP website, a lot of people did and some people didn't behave.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And last time it was another holiday. Remember, it was the Saturday morning. I said there was a lot more activity on there than normal, but I'm guessing it's because of Friday night Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, I heard somebody saying they were joking about getting pulled over by a police officer here in San Diego, and they said, no, I'm not swerving because I was drinking. I'm swerving to avoid the potholes.
In San Diego, that's...
That's fair enough.
Yeah, yes. Miramar Road is like an obstacle course.
It's treacherous on Miramar Road.
It's really bad. Although the good news is they're putting $140 million into road repair in this budget. At least that's what they're proposing. We'll see what actually comes through.
Well, and just because it's in the budget, where are they going to use it? Yeah, there's always lots of money in lots of budgets. And I know every time I fill up my tank, there's road taxes, there's local taxes. But what is the damage that these roads are doing to our, what is the value of the damage to our cars?
That's a very good question.
I think at 7 o'clock, the show after us might answer that.
Oh, you're going to put the burden on him?
We shall. We'll ask him as we're leaving to broach that.
All right. Garden classes today in San Diego. It's going to be Tomatoes 101 with Josh. That's at 9 o'clock. In Poway at 9:30, we have a special class on how to grow prize pumpkins with Jim Fredericks. We have seating for about, it's not an RSVP class, but we have seating for about 80 people, and the supposedly these classes draw very large crowds.
Yeah, I think it's more of a seminar, but he has had lots of people. He and his friends that are going to be teaching this or presenting are the current or most recent Southern California record holders for giant pumpkins. And, I mean, we're talking over 1,000-pound pumpkins. You saw some of the pictures on our Facebook page.
That's
They're
a big
huge.
Pumpkin.
Yeah,
they are big. But brings up the inevitable question. What do you do when you're done with the pumpkin?
After you weigh it, what do you do?
Compost.
Pumpkin pie. Lots of them.
Put it in your green recycling bin.
And your neighbors
for
and your
the
other
next,
neighbor.
For the next 6 months.
Let's see. So that's at 9:30 in Poway. If you want to make sure you get a good seat, I would get to both of those classes a little bit early. Next Saturday, May 13th, it's going to be worm composting with Kathleen in San Diego and aquatic plants with John Clements from the San Diego Botanic Garden in Poway. And then don't forget, May 14th is Mother's Day already. So that seems to have come up really fast. Oh, and just to give you guys a heads up, I'm not going to be here on the 16th. I'm going to be flying home from Chicago. Or the 20th.
Okay. So. Thank you. I'm sorry you're not going to be here on the 16th. I don't think we are either.
No. Yeah, we won't be here either. No. So that works out well.
That does work. That does seem to work out well. In Balboa Park today... Where did I write that down? Oh, the San Diego Irish Society show and sale is going to be going on today and tomorrow. So if you want to see some spectacular iris and maybe pick up a few, that would be a good show to go check out. I have a friend of mine that I've known since I was like 5 years old. She lives back in New Mexico, and she collects bearded iris, and her bearded iris beds are just going off right now. I mean, they're really, really pretty. They're doing really well.
Well, when we had all the fires up in Julian and things, mm-hmm. the bearded iris survived. They were one of the first things in some gardens that came back, and they're super tolerant. Great, great plant. What is do you guys remember? I don't remember what the iris is that we don't know, that we've never had, that we say every year we're going to go to the meeting and buy some of the bulbs. It sounds really cool.
I can't remember what it was.
Well, if you want to see what that is, you need to go there.
I did notice out on the native in the native plant section at the nursery, we have some native iris, which are actually they're short. They're only about 6 or 8 inches tall, but really, really
pretty.
Pretty
when they come into bloom.
And we have a bunch outside of our herb garden, and they're just spectacular. And Capri has been cutting some and bringing them in and putting them in a vase with some of our sweet peas, and it looks a lot nicer than I would typically do, but it smells beautiful. Very fragrant.
In the late spring and summer, when you drive from 395 to Bodie down, I can't remember which highway that is, there's just open fields that are just covered in them, and it almost looks like standing water.
It's the just, native ones. That
the
you're
native
speaking
ones,
of?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I think it's Douglasii is the native one, but it's just beautiful. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. There's just thousands and thousands and thousands of them.
I wonder if they're going to bloom late this year because they're probably still under.
They're probably still under snow. They got snow again this week up there, at Mammoth and June Lake. So, let's see.
You want me to do Vista?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and talk about the Vista Garden Club?
There is a flower show today and tomorrow for the Vista Garden Club at the Jim Porter Rec Center at Brengle Terrace Park in Vista. It's their annual flower show, and today the plant and garden art sale starts at noon. The flower show is open today from 2 to 5, and tomorrow all events are open from 10 until 4.
I think the Claremont Garden Walk is today and tomorrow too, or is it just today? I can't remember if it's today and tomorrow or just today, because I know we had tickets available in San Diego. I don't know if we have any left down there or not. If you're interested, you could give the store a call after 8 o'clock, and they can let you know if we have tickets left available if you are interested in doing that.
And by the way, the Vista Garden Club reached out and asked if we would mention that, which means we have at least one more listener of whom we were unaware.
Yes, we were not counting them.
Yes, we were not.
Is that 17 or 18? Do you remember?
Yes, somewhere around there.
somewhere in that neighborhood. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Go ahead.
Nope.
I was just going to say, you have been complaining to me about the...
He's pointing at me for those who can't see.
Oh, that's George. I am pointing at George, gently and politely.
Yes, in a very polite manner.
Your spicy nectar plum has been more of an issue than your other trees.
Yeah, peach leaf curl has been far more pronounced on that than any other nectarine or peach tree in the orchard. And I sprayed everything only once this year. I was lazy, and we had all the rain. But everything else looks fairly decent with the exception of the spicy.
Well, I was thinking about that yesterday because a customer brought in a nectarine or a bunch of nectarines that had that really weird brown blotchiness to them. And you had mentioned that as well. That was on your spicy, correct?
Yeah, but I get that regularly, and it happens to nectarines as well. It's caused by thrips.
And what... It doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like a little bug's going to get into the flower, and it's people generally don't believe that.
It's the Western flower thrip, and they kind of – it makes it look like it's scabbed over a bit all over the nectarine and the spicy nectar plum. But it can be treated organically with – we talked about it.
Spinosad. The day after all the petals drop.
Roughly, yes. You want to get it in there early, yeah.
Did you like that? Maso Menos, that's in – you know, because yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, so I threw that in.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break and – be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady is not with us today.
Is there something going on over in England today?
Yeah, it's raining.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of people out in the
streets. There's a lot of people out in the streets. Yeah, my sister's over there somewhere in that.
You know, I apologize. I said, oh, gosh, I have another apology. I just said there is a lot of people in the streets instead of are. But last week we were talking about the pith... the white part of citrus, and I called it albumin.
Yeah, you did. That's right. I was not listening at home.
And it's not. It's albedo. Albumin is in your blood.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Sincerely. And it's your albedo. It's your citrus.
For all the medical staff out there who have been sending in notes and letters.
Yes. I sincerely and humbly apologize. And it's albedo is the good stuff in the inside the citrus, rind right. of citrus.
Yeah, I was just called it pith.
Yeah. Well, when I was at the citrus thing up at Riverside, I was asking the experts about pith. And then
they corrected
they
you?
Didn't. Well, they, what are you talking about? And I said, the white part on the inside. Oh, you mean albedo? No, I thought it was albumin. Yes. So I guess we have to, on occasion, use proper terms. So it's albedo.
Words have
it's
meaning.
Good for you. Okay. Now you can go on to whatever it was you were.
Well, we can go back to the peach leaf curl problem. I've seen more this season than I have in years.
You know why?
Rain, probably.
Yeah. Not probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the, when you're, if you have it, one of the things to keep, to get it under control, well, spraying with copper spray during the dormant season for sure. But clean all the litter up underneath the tree, too, because it stays there in the ground. Then when we do get rain, the rain splashes it and puts it back up in the air to reinfect your trees.
I'm less concerned about peach leaf curl than I once was. And I'm a moderately lazy gardener. Would we all agree?
Oh,
I
yes.
would. Yeah.
And
I would
rarely,
highly agree.
I rarely spray. And this year I did spray once and it did mitigate a lot of the leaf curl. But in the past 5 years, I probably haven't sprayed at all. And it totally depends on the tree, the location of the tree, whether or not they get leaf curl. Most of the trees that are out in the open in the winter that have sun on them, even if I didn't spray during a dry winter, didn't get much leaf curl. But there's one tree, and it's the late tree, the Fairtime peach. It's kind of in the shadow of another tree in the winter, and it always had leaf curl on it every year. And they grow through it.
Yeah, it's not going to kill. It's not going to kill the tree. It's not going to look good, but it's not going to kill it.
But so, it'll certainly be less productive. And I can tell you from experience that when it's like this particular spicy nectar plum, it is so deformed that there are very few leaves that are wide open making energy for that tree. So you will get less production, and it looks it does look horrible. And I think I agree with you that it does matter on where that tree is. However,
location matters.
I think that spicy, just in my opinion here, seems to be much more susceptible, because dry years, wet years, spraying, not spraying, the spicy always looks bad with peach leaf curl compared to any other tree.
I don't even notice it because the leaves are dark, so it makes it harder to – you have to go look for it.
Oh, I would disagree. I think you need better vision, because I can see it from a distance and go, that thing looks horrible.
So you have a
I have a bionic eye now.
You
remember.
Have a bionic eye. Things go well, and now you start attacking the less sighted amongst us.
not all of them, just you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, fair enough.
And then also, you're talking about the thrips on your nectar plum. I've also seen that happen with spider mites. And one of the more unusual ones is slugs and snails.
And they usually will put a tunnel into them. But the result of the damage to the outside of the fruit is that same etching and scabbing look to it. But it's just a sunken one versus
And it's still edible. It just has that little, rough out exterior that you need to probably clean off of if you don't like that texture.
Easy way to control slugs and snails without even having to think about it is get some of the copper mesh that we sell and wrap the trunks, because that's very, very you've posted pictures of how effective a copper barrier is against slugs and snails.
It did work for me quite
you were
well.
Saying it just to clean off the outside if you don't like the texture. Well, a nectarine is a fuzzless peach, and people would choose that because they don't want the texture.
Right.
So they'd have to clean it off. But the fuzzed peaches don't have the problem because they have the fuzz to protect them from the western flower thrips.
Well,
and I've never thought about that until sitting here. So if you want to prevent western flower thrips, dig up all of your nectarines and replace them with peaches.
Fair enough.
problem solved. We are trend setting here on the radio.
Besides snails and slugs, our roses right now are being inundated with earwigs. They're every time we cut flowers, there are earwigs popping out and chewing on the little bit of the petals.
That's spinosad.
Well, spinosad in what form? Because just spinosad, just spray it with...
That wouldn't work? That's what I would do. You're talking about the Sluggo
Plus? I was thinking
more
of Sluggo Plus to put in the soil around, you know, at the base of the plant where they're going to be attracted to it and eat it.
You'd have to do that before the fact, would you not?
Yes. Yep.
I have noticed the little white beetles, the beetles that eat white flowers. Saw them on citrus last week. I saw them on a non-white dahlia in front of the store yesterday. It was just, I was looking down as I was walking in the store, and there was a dahlia with three holes in the flower petal in a line. Well, that's not natural. And there it was. There was this little beetle there that may have not, it won't be doing any more damage. But the roses this year, I think look one of the best years ever with all the extra rain and clean rain.
Agreed.
Mine at home have started blooming, and I, for the first time, have a couple of David Austins. And I've always been indifferent to David Austin roses, but they're kind of neat. I have Roald Dahl.
Yes.
Beautiful apricot color cabbage rose, and then I have another one that's a much richer orange, and I don't remember its name. I'll have to take a look. But
yeah, with David Austins, I've always thought that they were... I didn't particularly care for the shape of the flower. The fragrance on a lot of them is
outstanding.
But the plants themselves just never really... I didn't think they looked as good as like a hybrid tea or something like that until I went out to the Rose Garden at Verona.
Tomorrow, in fact.
And they are out there, at least when David was
right.
doing it, were spectacular. He had figured out how to grow them to make them actually look like a nice-looking
normal
plant.
Rose.
Yeah.
I think I had the same philosophy as David, kind of indifferent towards them. But the other day we were looking at them closely because we now have, I think, four or five. And we come to the conclusion the reason that Capri likes them so much, and I think I'm beginning to, is they look like peonies. Because we were just back at Monticello, and you know there were peonies everywhere and gorgeous big flowers. And some of our David Austin roses are quite large, but the petals, the way they're formed, it looks like a peony. And I think that's what makes them attractive to a lot of people.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, you don't see them that frequently anymore, but when we used to stock a lot of Camellia japonicas, there's a number of peony-flowered camellias.
Which I never liked.
It's a strange-looking flower.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like the peony form of camellia. It's my least favorite of the camellias.
Okay.
Yeah. But in the rose, it looks fantastic. I really like the cabbage form. It looks really neat by itself or with other flowers. It looks really, really nice.
And as Ken said, I think they have an incredible fragrance. I think they really pop when you get near them.
Yeah, Roald Dahl doesn't. But the color's nice.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Maybe you're growing them wrong. You're not giving them the right fragrance fertilizer.
That's probably... We have... don't start me. But in honor, in celebration of the coronation, we should support David Austin roses. They're from the homeland, right?
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were from Texas.
Well now.
Okay.
The other thing that looks nice with a peony flower is the peonies.
Are they nice? But they don't grow very well here.
The Idahos do.
Yes, they do. They grow very well.
I was about to say, wait a minute. You've told me how great they grow.
But they're not peony form peonies. They're peonies.
Yes.
But okay. All right. Do the peony flowers on the Ito peonies look like the flowers that remind you of peonies that we were just talking about?
Not quite.
Not exactly.
Okay.
But it's still a beautiful foliage.
It is. It's a beautiful plant.
It's a gorgeous plant.
And it's a peony that reblooms here.
Yeah. And will grow here and year after year.
Yeah. I remember the days when we used to bring peonies in and sell them as annuals.
Annuals.
Because
the most expensive annuals we sold.
Yeah. Because they just, you couldn't get them to naturalize. At least anywhere west of Julian.
Yes. Julian, I remember Neil Morgan used to talk about peonies and lilacs at his place up. He would write about it up in Julian. Yes.
I was just going to, now I don't remember my train of thought. I'll come back. Keep going. Discuss it among yourselves. Come back.
I bought this year a rose called Heavenly Scented, and it's very nice. It's a pale pink / apricot. I'm detecting a theme here, but the full flower is probably 4 inches across when it's open, and it is very fragrant. It's not a David Austin, but it's a really nice rose. I'm very happy that I purchased it, and it's still alive, and it's still in its original 5-gallon bucket.
Are you one of those people that have a theme, like you have to have apricot color flowers here? And no? Okay.
And when people ask me that, can I put this rose next to this rose?
Yeah, I tell them, don't ask me.
That's not
my short answer.
Yes.
Do you want it there?
I put them, mix them all up.
Agreed.
Them all up.
I remember what I was going to say. You had said that was the most expensive annual, the peonies.
George is pointing to Ken, just so you know.
You said that was the most expensive. I would argue that the cost of the peonies is one of the most expensive perennials you can buy, too. Those are expensive plants.
There is truth to that.
Yes, the Ido peonies are not on the inexpensive side.
Okay, now I have a pronunciation question for you.
Yes.
Do you remember the judge in the O.J. Simpson case?
Lance Ito.
Yes. How was his last name spelled?
I think it was I-T-O.
That's what I think.
Oh, no
as
H.
Well.
No H. Right.
Okay. Because I want to call him Ito peonies. Not after Judge Ito, but just, I don't know. But I guess adding the H will change that, won't it?
I don't know what it changes.
Okay.
So, either way.
All right. Tomato, tomato.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You are listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has got the day off. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd love to talk to you. For those that don't subscribe to our monthly newsletter, the May issue has been posted on the website, so you can go and check it out. And
I thought you were going to say canceled.
No. And there is some very interesting stuff in there. One of the things that is listed, and they tell you what to do, is plant a tree, get a rebate from SDG&E. And they have a rebate program based on zip code eligibility.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
My zip code works. And I've bought lots of trees, but I've not sent in a receipt.
Yeah, so you can get a...
Smarter than David.
Qualifying SDG&E customers can receive a $35 rebate for planting or potting a 1 or 5 gallon tree plant species, and a $50 rebate for a 15 gallon tree or plant species. Can apply for up to 5 rebates annually, and customers do not need a yard to qualify. Trees or other plant species can be planted in large containers on outdoor balconies or patio areas.
And they have a specific list of trees and shrubs.
They do. They call them native. It's under native trees or regional friendly trees, fruit trees, utility friendly trees, things that won't get into the wires, and pollinators.
I think one of the things that was on that list was narrowleaf milkweed, too.
It is
under the pollinator section.
Yeah, and we have tons of it in stock right now, more than I think I've ever seen. We have some 8-inch ones that are really nice,
and
then the gallons are pretty decent, too.
The native ones we usually don't get looking that good and full. They're usually younger plants, and
yes,
there's a lot of leaf to these.
Some of the other things you'll find in the newsletter, article about growing African violets, to-dos for tip-top tomatoes. Lots of stuff. So, lots
you had mentioned companion planting.
Yes, there's actually a chart for companion planting in your garden.
How do you feel about that? Because when we talk about companion planting, I think about what you said and I agreed to about the roses.
In what? What?
Put it there if you want it there.
Exactly. Yes, I agree. I don't think I subscribe to it the way a lot of people do. I think there is some benefit. I do often put marigolds, for example, near the tomatoes. I put the basil between the tomatoes, things like that. But I don't follow charts specifically, okay. And I don't do the don't plant this near this kind of routine.
Unless it's a walnut tree?
Right. Yeah, okay. There are some bigger things, yes. But as far as the vegetable garden, we plant a lot of our squash, watermelon stuff under our fruit trees and just let them ramble out.
You can't do that. I saw that on the San Diego Gardeners page. You can't do that.
No, they recommend against it.
Because?
Well, there are a couple schools of thought. They say that it will deplete the nutrients from the soil and too much water will be going to that, where I disagree.
And if you came in and asked me if you could do that, I would probably say in some smart aleck tone, yes, you could, but I wouldn't do it, or right. I would recommend against it. But you have done it successfully
for multiple
years.
You've seen pictures of it, yeah. Because I think, A, you have a lot of mulch. When you water your fruit trees, you're watering a large area. I don't think a single pumpkin or watermelon plant is going to remove enough water from a massive basin to be detrimental to the tree. And if you're feeding on a regular basis, everything's getting nutrition.
And I would disagree with that, because a large pumpkin will suck a ton of water out, but you've done it, again, you've done it successfully, correct?
Right, it's sucking a lot of water in this spot, but not in the full 360 degrees of that tree, and you're watering weekly or every 6 days, and again, yes, we've had great success with it.
Well, the other thing you can do, too, is just increase the amount of water you put
on. That's my point. You can water more if necessary, and you're going to feed more if necessary, so I've had great success.
You've adjusted, and it's
and
worked.
And you have a nice thick layer of mulch, which reduces the need to water as frequently.
Did you use Timothy hay?
No, we did not. Okay. We have used regular straw, and it will bring in a lot of weeds, but it seems to work quite well to retain moisture. And earthworms love it, as you know.
And that's the key.
Is making a rich, healthy soil, not dirt. And by having all that organic material that's going to retain the moisture, the earthworms start becoming very prolific, and they just inundate the area with earthworms, and now you have great soil being built.
And it's aerated. It's aerated naturally. They're feeding the soil as they create their castings. so if you have the environment where they're happy, then everything else is going to be better because of it, because there's going to be the natural compounds and nutrients from the worm castings, plus all the other benefits.
And the other piece to all that is if you subscribe to the idea of permaculture and food forest, you grow things underneath the fruit trees and the canopies of trees. So that was my starting point.
Well, I do have very nice grapes hanging from my avocado tree, which I never would have thought would work. But they develop nicely under the canopy of the avocado.
There you go. You get your own food forest happening there.
Yes. I hadn't thought of it that way.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go out to Santee, where Douglas is waiting. Good morning, Douglas. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. It's nice and early today.
Yes, it is. What can we do for you?
We're trying to start a vegetable garden, and some of the seed packets say don't start until the ground temperature is up to 75 degrees. It seems like it's getting rather late in the season.
It is late, and some of those things are optimum temperatures, and things are germinating fairly well now. I planted some beans they're in a raised container at the nursery a couple of weeks ago, and they're up. But you can also start them indoors or on a seed mat or something like that. But if you want to, I can't think of anything that wouldn't germinate directly from the soil right now.
No, I think you'd be in pretty good shape with most things.
Or over the next couple of weeks.
We have started some indoors, and they're getting to be 2 or 3 inches tall now.
That would be a good time to start moving them out.
Slowly acclimate them to the sun.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do that then. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Okay. You too.
Take care. Bye.
I was kind of surprised at how, air quotes, quickly the beans came up, because it has been
cooler.
Very, very cool.
Right. Yeah.
And there was one time I was getting ready for a segment on Channel 39, and I took some bean seeds, and I put them in a tray on top of the seed mat, and I put a covering over it, and they germinated in like 2 days.
They oh, were wow. up.
And if you leave them on that too long, it cooks them. But they will germinate right away with more heat.
Was that because there was too much heat, or there was not enough water?
I do not recall. It was a long time ago in a land far, far away.
Okay.
Let's see what else we have going on this weekend. I walking through the yard yesterday, I noticed we have about five-gallon King Proteas in bloom.
I saw those yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw one.
They looked really nice.
I mentioned that to some of the yard guys yesterday. I'm not a big Protea guy, but my God, those were gorgeous.
Yeah.
I pointed, I go, look at that. That is a beautiful flower.
Yeah. That is probably my favorite.
And Protea. I don't think we've ever had one, at least of that size, blooming in the nursery. I've never seen one that nice.
I think
before.
It's a dwarf. The ones that we have might be dwarfs. But I've never seen, because the foliage is much narrower than the regular King Proteas.
I was just looking out from my office window across the patio and happened to see it blooming, so I didn't notice what the foliage was. But the flower was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, very, very nice. You guys did the initial survey of the fair for this year.
Oh, it's what did we survey? The water survey?
It's getting to be that time of the year.
We're less than a month away, I think, from the opening. Or about a month away from the opening of the San Diego County Fair at Del Mar.
Because it's like the first week in June or something like that, isn't it?
And we've been there twice now in the last week or so, starting the preps.
And the theme is?
Get out there. Come on. Let's go.
Well, now that the...
How did that sound?
Which one of those? Is it let's go?
It's get out there.
I know, but you just kept adding, so...
Well, because it's all part and parcel.
Well, how appropriate now that...
What's it going to be on the banner for the fair?
I don't know. That's not my department.
Okay.
Oh, actually. Okay, you guys keep talking. I'll tell you what's on the banner, because I'll bet it's on the website.
I was curious because of the way you kept adding.
Well, I actually don't know, but I just think... I know it. Get out there is the main big part of it. Are you looking it up so I don't have to do this?
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
And, well, let's go. We need to... I guess it's timely that the World Health Organization...
That's what I was just going to say. The pandemic is officially... It didn't say that it was over. It said that it's out of emergency mode.
Yes, it's out of emergency, but it could become an emergency at any moment now. So be aware.
Yeah.
I watched somebody getting gas yesterday. I didn't notice her... mask on while she was getting gas until I saw her drive away in her car by herself with her mask on. Just that's it. Okay, so what's the banner say?
Well, for the dates, it starts June 7th.
Okay,
through July 4th, so June 7th. So we're getting close to it opening, and it says adventure awaits. Get out there.
Okay, so we'll see what that shall bring. In the meantime, we're going to go down to Chula Vista where Paula is waiting. Good morning, Paula. How are you?
Hi, actually, it's Louise. Sorry, wrong name.
I'm sorry. I was reading the name that got put
in. I gave the wrong name.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't give Brendan my real name when I call him either.
Listen, actually, it was a gentleman.
Yes.
Anyway, I was trying to find out, when was that Irish show you mentioned?
Today and tomorrow.
Yes, and where?
And the Casa del Prado in Balboa Park.
Oh, that's even better. I thought it was someplace else, and that's easy. Okay, and I had a question about your store, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have like the essences of these flowers? One of you mentioned the beautiful scent of the irises as you noticed them, and that is my favorite scent, and I've never known where to buy them, and I thought maybe a garden shop like yours sold such things. Not that I make them or am trying to drum up business, but wondered if you have a little section of like the essence of flower scents.
We do perfume. Not. We have tried things like that in the past, and they just it's not something that it's not something that our clientele is looking for from us, at least.
And okay.
They want to. Yeah. It's a cleaner.
They want to grow the real thing.
Yes. We encourage you to go visit the Iris Show and get them so that you can have the real thing, not just their essence, in your home.
Yes, actually, I do have a few, and so I'm really happy with that. And thank you very much. I'll look forward to seeing them at Casa del Prado.
Casa del Prado. Yes, probably in room 101. Okay.
Oh, 101. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Okay. I have a question for you.
What's that?
Well, do we need to do that first?
What?
Take a break.
Yeah, we can take a break.
All right. We'll
if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady is not with
us
today.
I was going to say Mark Mahady for you, but he's not here.
He's not here today. One thing that I noticed when I was out in the California Native section yesterday, we have 5 different colors of California poppies in stock right now.
Do they look like they'll be blooming in about 3 weeks or 4 weeks when the fair opens? Because we could really use them if they'll still be blooming.
The orange ones are huge. They're probably six inches in diameter.
Those look very nice.
I think they were from Moosa Creek. Five different colors of California poppy, which I didn't know that there was that many different colors of California poppy. I always thought it was just the gold ones.
You have not looked at our seed packs at the end of the season.
Apparently not. Okay. So anyway, you learn something new every day.
Before we went into the break, you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to ask a question. And I'm wondering, that was very nice of Paula to call, but I'm wondering if she was an Iris Society plant and just wanted to mention their show and sale a second, or have it mentioned. Did that cross your minds?
We're less conspiratorial than yourself.
You take things at face value and people at face value.
Yes.
Not that there'd be anything wrong with that, but no. That's what I was wondering.
Another interesting plant that was on the native table, although it's going to be a while before it looks like what you think it's supposed to look like, is Joshua trees. We actually had Joshua trees out there.
From Moosa as well, or is that
I don't know if they're from Moosa or somebody. I think they're from Moosa, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But right now it just looks kind of like a yucca.
Well, speaking of natives, George had a customer that called or came in and asked for the blue flowers with the green leaves.
Oh, she came in. She's a very nice lady, but she didn't know exactly what she was looking for.
And George was questioning her, but everybody knows the blue flower with green leaves.
You know, the green leaves
right
that
now.
Come up, they're everywhere right now.
They have green leaves all over.
Blue flowers and they're green leaves on the side.
It's ceanothus. It has to be.
I was thinking larkspur or lupin.
I started with lupin, but that wasn't
George
it either.
George says it wasn't ceanothus, and so I thought it's got to be lupins. I didn't think larkspur. I thought lupins.
Nope. Can't think of the other one. I went to several different plants, including the first one was lupine, but it ended up being.
Well, it turned out to be status, and
Leonium.
Oh,
it was Leonium.
Limonium.
Yeah, Limonium. Yeah, it's sea lavender.
Yes,
right. Sea lavender is a common name.
We had just come back from the fairgrounds and scoping out where our display was going to be, And as you get onto 5 South from Via de la Valle, there is status all along the freeway. And we had just talked about how nice it looked, but how poor it can look.
When it's adequately watered, like with all this rain, they actually look beautiful right now. But often they just look burned and crispy and horrible.
And we had just seen it, just talked about it. Hour later, customer asked about it, and it didn't come to either of our minds.
Because she said blue, and that's purple.
And George is going lavender on it. Ugh.
Anyway, we got it. We figured it out.
Well, what's the one that has the small foliage and the really small sprays of flowers? Is that German status?
German status.
Yeah. And then there's an annual status, too.
Yes.
That comes in a couple of different colors.
It's quite a few, and it can be semi-weedy. My neighbors across the street had that in their front yard, and now it's in everybody's yard.
It's all over the place, all over the neighborhood.
Yes.
We also have a very good selection of strawberries in stock right now, and some of the 1 gallons are actually producing.
I saw those. The kids from Head Start came out yesterday to the nursery, and they were going to do a potting project. And I thought, oh, here we have nice 6 packs of parsley they can all take home. And then, no, we did strawberries.
Oh.
Kids like strawberries more than parsley.
I would think so, yeah.
You think?
Yeah. I would think so.
But I did see the gallons with the fruit on them.
You could probably just, rather than just say kids, you could probably just equate that to most humans.
People. Yeah. People.
But yeah, there's some really nice ones out there. And actually, going back to the native table, there were a couple of native strawberries on the native table. I can't remember. I want to say one was an alpine strawberry, but I don't.
Probably.
But
I did see
remember.
Some very nice alpine strawberries, and they're small. They're not that pretty, but boy, are they packed with flavor.
They are tasty. Mm-hmm. But you know what they remind me of? They're more like the little strawberry pieces you would get into in a dried in the cereal.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I remember
that's
those.
That's what they taste like.
Totally agree.
Interesting.
And with the extra concentration of the dried flavors.
Yeah. We also had some pink and red flowering strawberries out there. Most strawberries have a white flower on them, but there were some that had a kind of a pinkish red color to them.
I was thinking the berries themselves. I'm like, oh, lots of strawberries are red, Ken.
Except for the white ones.
Yes. But apparently the birds don't see the white, so they don't attack. They don't eat white.
Oh, I don't know.
Strawberries or something like that. So maybe we should all plant white strawberries. Well, that would be unfair to the birds.
Melanie she saw a recipe for strawberry infused tequila,
which is better than the parsley infused.
Yeah. Exactly.
How do you know?
I don't. I'm speculating.
But some of the parents did take parsley too, okay. Just for the record.
So she made some. She made some up, and it's okay. It's not as good as either one of us expected it to be. And then when she was getting ready to strain the strawberries out, she goes, I wonder what the strawberries taste like after they've been sitting in tequila. And she goes, oh my God, she goes, they're inedible. So, but it was interesting because the tequila actually sucked the redness out of the strawberries. So when she strained them out, the strawberries were white and the tequila had turned kind of a reddish color.
That's so the birds won't attack them.
I could.
That happens when you make just water that's infused with strawberries. You know, if you throw a bucket of cold water with some cut up strawberries to infuse it in there for, you know, to drink on a hot day, the same thing happens. They start to lose their color over time.
No, well, I did not know that.
So if you feed strawberries to white rabbits, they look like the rabbit out of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. There is a lot. There's a lot of red in the skin of the strawberries. Let's see. Just a reminder.
So
get my paperwork in order.
Want me to get it? I've got
you
it.
Have, you got.
At 9 o'clock in San Diego today, it's Tomatoes 101 with Josh, and at Poway, how to grow giant prize pumpkins with Josh Fredericks and some of his peers. We'll see you then.
Oh wait! Oh no! We're not at see you then yet.
No, I meant at the class.
Oh,
at the class.
Oh, I thought you were.
No! I'm not signing off.
Okay.
Just at the class.
Vista Garden Club show and sale is this weekend in Vista.
Yeah, at the gym at the Jim Porter Rec Center.
The Iris Society show and sale is this weekend.
Where is that?
That's in Casa del Prado in Balboa Park.
Well, you did such a nice job with the rec center. I thought you were just going to go straight to that. We were going to do it like team. teamwork. Go ahead.
Check out the newsletter online at walteranderson.com. And remember, that's A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N. Has all the information in there for the SDG&E rebate program. So you can check that. Go to their website and see if you qualify.
And if you don't, you can come move to my neighborhood.
And if you do, you might as well take advantage of it. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with another hour next Saturday morning.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.